Strata Council should do some research with regard to the change in law that now permits renters in all condo strata developments. It is rather alarming to read the bias and hair on fire response some condo owners are exhibiting toward new prospective renters moving to previously owner-occupied buildings. This is just another form of NIMBYISM. To suggest that renters are second-class residents, with no respect or pride in their rental unit, is very unfair. Many owners do not take proper care of their own units, which also diminishes the entire building. Landlords of these tenants are owners and still have the same responsibilities to the strata rules and the building. As of now, there are many very nice buildings already open to renters and they are managing quite nicely. Strata councils can be proactive. 1. Encourage community for new residents as they would for new owners. 2. Do a bit of research and outreach to buildings that have rental units already, and find out if there really is as much an issue as they seem to be projecting. 3. Ensure they respond to any issues in a timely manner directly with the landlord if issues arise, as they would for similar owner issues. Ann Miller Langford, would you want to rent your empty rooms? Premier David Eby has done a disservice to those of us who chose to give up our family homes to move into something more suitable once our children were grown. He did not consult with condo owners to research the problem he created. When I moved from a house to a condominium, some 30 years ago, I researched my options. What type of condo did I want? A large or small building? Was this to be my forever home, or was it to be a stopgap? And of course, the location was important. I have my forever home in a small condo property where I have been on strata council for as long as I have lived here. It is well looked after. We allow 3 rentals, which is manageable as we have enough on-site owners to volunteer on the strata council. Now that EB has decided that rental restrictions should be removed, small condos will suffer if we have a number of rentals, as there will not be enough on-site owners to maintain and provide security for the building. The whole building is our home and we care for it as a whole and we chose to limit rentals. How would a person in a house like to be told they have to rent out any extra rooms they have? Housing is a huge issue, and the answer would be to offer incentives to developers to build more affordable rental accommodation rather than the high-end condos that are appearing in the city. Allison McKinley, Victoria Premier, should not pick on seniors. So our newly anointed Premier David Eby decides to push around the seniors who have the audacity to finish their lives in a peaceful strata facility. When he had the chance to make improvements as housing minister, little was accomplished, and now we have a crisis. Eby is forcing owners who live in condos, we pay taxes and have all our lives, to change our bylaws to a limiting 55 plus. Either that or we must now allow rentals for multiple person units to invade our properties. Eby is very tone deaf. What's next? Will he force single family property owners to rent out any available rooms they have in basements? Oh, wait, no, he owns a big home and looks down on mere senior strata owners. We, seniors, have strength in numbers and there are a lot of us out there. We must remember this tactic when he opts for his early election call in 2023. He has caused chaos in our older demographic strata, average age of 65. Don't solve your housing problems by pushing around seniors. There are a lot of us Zoomers out there. We have time on our hands and are not willing to put up with this. Like John Horgan before him, the public backfire on his arrogant treatment of seniors here in Victoria will put him in his place. Stop picking on strata owners, we can't solve the problems you had years to fix. J.C. Montgomery Sanichtent fret. If EB goes for an early election, some would say that with his majority government, our new Premier David EB should not have to go to the electorate again until October 2024. Why would EB want to call an election 2 years before then? Unlike other jurisdictions such as the US that have specific set times as to when elections are to be held, Canada's constitution just requires that any government must go to the electorate at least once in every 5 years. In practice, however, they have been called every 4 years. That means that a majority government that polls show is still doing fairly well. As it gets a little closer to the date it must go to the people, can be tempted to call a snap election any time before then, banking on getting yet another majority. So what's wrong with that? The voters will have spoken and they got what they wanted. What it means is that the clock that starts ticking for at least another 4 years just gets set again. All the government has to do is throw out to the electorate whatever bread and circuses it thinks might work from time to time. Either that, or else take advantage of a weak and divided opposition. Accordingly, it's possible a government could remain in power for long after its original past due date. That clearly should be seen as a potential abuse of parliamentary process. All elections cost millions of dollars, and that kind of money should not be spent to further extend the political careers of MLAs or MPs who thereby can be assured that, having held their seats at least 5 years altogether, they can look forward to receiving very generous pensions for the rest of their lives, all paid for, of course, by us taxpayers. Barry Gates Victoria NDP shows leadership with healthcare. The December 10th Rayside cartoon suggests the current situation in BC's healthcare system is the NDP's fault. The healthcare crisis is Canada-wide. Public healthcare is a basic policy of the NDP. When in government, the party strengthens healthcare. In 2013, an election year, Island Health promised to build a new hospital in the Cowichan Regional District. If the Liberal government had followed through between 2013 and 2017, the new hospital might have opened this year. Actual planning for the hospital began in 2018, under the NDP. It might take another 2 years to build. Preparedness. BC's first experience with a novel coronavirus was in late February 2003. During the 10 years when NDP was in government, the BC Centre for Disease Control had been increasing preparedness for pandemic risks. The staff at Vancouver General Hospital was alerted to possible avian flu arriving with travelers from Asia. When two patients arrived with severe respiratory symptoms late in February 2003, the plan was followed. Toronto had three travelers spread SARS to 247 people. Vancouver had two travelers with SARS who did not spread the disease, although one healthcare provider did catch it. One of the areas where the NDP are champions across Canada is healthcare. Yes, there is a problem. Let's find solutions instead of looking for who to blame. Heather Phillips Souk have faith in EB, but not in Rayside. Rayside's unfunny December 10th cartoon is simply wrong. I believe the leadership provided by Premier John Horgan, Minister Adrian Dix and Dr. Bonnie Henry got BC through a very difficult health crisis as well as could be managed. The inherent long-term problems faced by our health system did not begin with the NDP, but are rooted in long-standing policies of previous governments. I have every confidence that Premier David Eby's government will continue to govern responsibly given the health pressures the province faces. Maybe the cartoonist should think before he draws. John Bergbashesqua Imalt may be a point there. Under the jargon re, playing field needs to be tilted in favor of low-income countries for a while, column, December 4. In his cliché-ridden, jargon-filled column, Trevor Hancock tells us he wants to endorse a new global equity. A laudable intention. Perhaps he should first work on saving the English language from inscrutable political babble. His passionate plea just might be able to be translated into effective action if there was some clarity of thought on his part. Paul Walton Nanaimo. Send us your letters, email letters to letters@timescolonist.com, mail. Letters to the Editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road. Victoria, BCV9A6X5, submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.